This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And I was telling the truth as I said Dr. George would be walking in the door momentarily, so here she is.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm here. I continue to feel like I'm being pollinated, but other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah, it's kind of ugly today, I think. But what are you going to do? Hopefully this will pass. It is pretty, though.
It is pretty, and I think the last I heard, we might get some rain, and hopefully it'll wash it down the drain. The other thing I found, I'm sure this will totally amaze you, and that we've been working together for so many years. Mm-hmm. I'm old, and digging post holes is not really my thing at my age. There are places on my bod that muscles that I didn't know still existed, and unfortunately, some of the holes didn't get as deep as they need to be, so I've got to do some more of it this afternoon.
Make sure you spray for mosquitoes, et cetera. You know, you spray yourself.
Oh,
you don't get extra.
I got the et cetera.
Yeah. Well, you know, for pain, you can try coconut oil. It actually works really well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A teaspoon of coconut oil, and you won't be in any pain, actually.
Ah.
So forget Advil, Motrin, all other stuff. This is much better. Doesn't damage your kidneys, won't raise your blood pressure, won't interact with any medication. So I can highly recommend it.
For the pain, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's
anti-inflammatory. I know.
Does it work on gout too?
It might if it's to the degree that it's inflammatory, the pain associated with it, yes, but not the uric acid buildup. And it also helps you with energy. So when you take it, it actually gets metabolized through the liver, and it releases energy.
How often do you take a teaspoon of coconut oil?
A teaspoon. I take it. Mine, I divide the doses twice a day now. But my back pain's gone and my knee pain's gone.
Well, you do the show. I'm going to go to the store and get some.
Really, indeed. Make sure, though, it's organic.
Okay.
And not... No. Well, there shouldn't be, you know, especially if it's done properly. You can actually make it yourself. So if you get one of the brown husked coconuts,
mm-hmm.
scoop out the meat, the white part of it,
mm-hmm.
Drain it through a filter, either a coffee filter or a cheesecloth. So you actually squeeze the coconut milk out into like a mason jar. Let it sit overnight, or actually let it sit for 24 hours, then refrigerate it. And then it'll separate. The oil will be at the bottom and the... I guess, I don't know what you want to call it, the curd, whatever you want to call it, it'll be at the top. You scrape that off, and there you go.
Huh.
So you can be sure then that nothing's in it, because it really is natural, as long as you get an organic coconut.
Okay, if I wanted to just go to the to a health food store, could I get coconut oil there?
Yes. Just make sure you tell them. I would think any reputable health food store would only have organic in it, but... Don't trust anybody. Ask them. Read the labels and look for non-GMO.
Yeah, yeah.
Really.
Listen, I'm headed out to do that. I will definitely do that. Anything.
I know.
And it works on the elderly, too.
It works on everybody. And, I mean, if you really have problems with your skin, you can also use it on your skin as well. So you might need it both ways, Dave.
Can I just filter it through my shower or something and...
That's a whole other conversation. But I mean, you really should filter your shower, actually, so you can get rid of the chlorine and other God knows what's in it. Pharmaceuticals, chemo drugs, you know.
As you and I have talked before, and I think, you know, I don't drink tap water. Mm-hmm. We have bottled water brought in. I went, and I don't know how long ago this was, but I went in and turned on the tap, and it was vile. It was, I mean, you know, it just smelled bad. And so it's
what you don't see.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What you don't smell, that's worse. That's the sad part. I mean, I've finally gone, besides eating properly, I've gone to other things like really filtering water for things like fluoride, chlorine. You know, the pure water filter, Brita water filter does cysts and major things, but it doesn't do fluoride. And that's, to me, very important to get rid of because it's a heavy metal. And there's studies that show that it actually increases bone cancer rate. So I'm not interested in that. Besides, it makes you really stupid because it actually changes your memory. It just makes you kind of dull. So all those things, it's really time because of where we are in the healthcare state, or I should say the healthcare state that we're in, you'd better take care of yourself and not depend on, I hate to say this, doctors or hospitals to really help you. It sounds really weird, but hey, it's true. This Obamacare thing's a joke.
And unfortunately, it's on us.
It's not a good, yeah, it's a bad joke on us. I mean, I feel like all my pronouncements are kind of coming true. I know this thing is a single-payer Trojan horse. I've pretty much figured that one out from the beginning. But people like Max Baucus, the person who helped craft the bill, the senator, who's leaving Congress and basically running away from the problem, even he says it's going to be a disaster. I mean, which part of that is he surprised about exactly? I guess you take the money and run, right?
The whole thing is just... Yeah, you hit it on the head. And like you said over and over again, follow the money trail and he's taking the money and run.
It's so ridiculous how it's unfolding that there shouldn't be anybody who's paying any attention at all who should feel good about this. The exchanges are a disaster. Where do we start? The fact that I think about a couple of weeks ago, it was pronounced that because the exchanges are going off so slowly, which is a big surprise, that Sibelius made another, I guess, executive decision, if you want to call it, that the people who would – the exchange is supposed to be state-run. But what's going to happen is the government is going to give private insurance companies money to subsidize people to enter the insurance. Did you hear about that?
No.
So – instead of the government paying for you to enter an exchange, they're going to give the money to Blue Cross or Humana or whoever the insurance company is to subsidize you becoming a Blue Cross, Humana, United Healthcare subscriber. So I guess the insurance companies kind of were smart all along because when this got passed, their stock went up. And I pretty much figured that they were in a panacea of thinking they're going to get a ton of folks. But I thought it was going to be because it was going to – people are going to flock in and then they're going to actually leave down the road when it didn't work. I didn't realize the government's just going to give them money straight up so that they could administer the new people coming in just like they do Medicare Advantage, some of them. And all that does is increase the cost of health care. So they pay more money for out and to Medicare Advantage patients than an average Medicare patient. So it costs the government more. Same thing's going to happen now with Obamacare subscribers. So it's going to cost everybody more. Not only will you pay more because there's sicker people in the pool, but there's more people who can't afford it, so you're going to have to cover them too as somebody who's paying for their own insurance. This is a total waste.
Do you feel like, and we're seeing it a little bit, not to the extent that I would really like to, but more and more hosts are coming in and their guests coming in complaining about, a relative or mm-hmm. themselves mm-hmm. being hit and finding out the sneakiness, and I use it, I don't know that that's a good word, but it's as good as I can come up with, mm-hmm. of Obamacare and what the health insurance companies are doing. We're doing a show now called Healthcare Consumerism, and it basically for companies, but the companies are learning how to deal with Obamacare, but also telling their employees, if they're paying for their insurance, just exactly what you just said, learn to take care of yourself. Get in shape. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies are going on the thing now of rewarding their employees, if they lose the 10 pounds or lose the 15 pounds, they stop smoking or stop this or do that. And
that's the good part about it. The bad part about it is they're going to decide, hey, you're too fat, and I'm covering you, and I'm spending too much money, so you better lose some weight or you won't have a job. You know, who was that? I think, was it Walgreens? They're demanding that their patients, their employees, give up their health information. What happened to privacy? So this is a double-edged sword.
That's bad. What's a grocery store chain, though, that has done so well with it? It'll come to me about 20 minutes after the show's over.
I'm not sure who that is, but I really don't have – I have a problem with nannyism, all right? I don't care if it's the state or your employer doing it. What you do in your own time is not their business.
This was not really it's on the tip of my tongue. It was not them managing their employees. They were doing it as an incentive basis.
That's before all this came down the pipe. But when you talk about money and you talk about it's going to cost you X number of thousands of dollars more, especially the bigger you are, you bet your butt they're going to say this is – they're going to be punitive about it. You do X, you stop smoking, you lose the weight, or else. Why wouldn't they? It's about staying open. It's not about altruism anymore. It's about survival. When it comes to that level, everything comes top down and it becomes very black and white. Toe the line or you won't have a job. The only people I think get away with this is government employees. They can do whatever they want. But when it comes down to individual private practice or private companies, they have no choice, I don't think, but to do it. And if they have 51 employees or 52 employees, which the path of least resistance is going to be, get rid of two or three and come under off of the huge mandate trail for Obamacare. This is not a good thing. I mean, I'm not a big fan of government regulations, I have to tell you, because I find that they don't benefit everybody. They usually benefit the biggest players, and they usually end up taking the competition out of circulation. And it doesn't really serve anything. Usually, let's look at health, for example, obesity, let's say. They're spending a lot of time and effort in controlling behavior by regulation. You can't have a big gulp. You can't have salt. You can't have trans fat. All the stuff that's being mandated on a nanny state low level. Why don't they do something about high fructose corn syrup or genetically modified food? They're not doing a thing about the major players that's making us sick. It's just controlling you as the individual. That doesn't make any sense except the fact that they want to control you as the individual. It's not about health anymore. It's about control. I say it all the time, but honestly, there's no other way to say it. It's about control in every aspect of your life. And as soon as you become a debtor, whether that's economically, health-wise, socially, you're done. They've got you because they control you. And whoever controls the healthcare dollar, I don't care if it's the government, your employer, your state, doesn't matter. They get to decide how that money's spent. That's the major downfall of the entire process. And that's what they've doubled down on or tripled down on is now not only does the insurance company get to lead you around by the nose, but above them, the government gets to do it. And it's no longer the seniors. It'll be from cradle to grave. They decide what healthy is, how you stay healthy, what medications or techniques you get to use to stay healthy. And if you don't play the game, you'll be punished. Either you won't get the coverage, you know, you won't get the procedure done. The medication that you really want, you won't be able to get because it's not covered. If you're a doctor, you won't be able to practice medicine. You'll just be a slave to the hospital. Otherwise, you'll be pushed out by peer review, maintenance of certification, all sorts of crap that has come online that's basically the stick. The carrot's already been here. The carrot is over. That's what you just described to me. Oh, we will have a gym in the workplace and we'll encourage healthy behavior. We'll help pay for your gym, you know, your dues, etc. That's the carrot. The stick is you better get your BMI below 25 or else. Okay, that's the doctor thing. We were given tax deductions for getting electronic medical record systems in our offices. Now it comes down to if you don't put in all the information about whether the person has a gun or whether they were depressed, whether they took a, you know, if they wanted to hurt themselves, if they have a health care directive, if they have a living will, if you don't put all that stuff in, then you are running afoul of the system and you're not going to get paid. That's how it is.
Over your tenure, have you ever, I would assume that you've seen a few folks with sinus infections.
Just a few.
Out of those few that you've seen, have you ever seen anybody in a really great mood that comes in so happy that they have sinus infection and their head hurts and they've had it for 2 weeks now and they're just ecstatic about having? And if you, as a doctor, saw this person or you see this person that has a sinus infection and they're a little bit depressed because it's been going on for 2 weeks now, wouldn't it be logical that they might be a little unhappy or a little depressed as opposed to ecstatic about it? So are you supposed to turn them in that Joe Smith came in with a sinus infection and wasn't in a real good mood?
Oh, you know what? I guess if taking your example to the logical degree, you know, you might have someone come in, oh my God, it feels like I'm dying or I want to kill myself because I'm in so much pain. If I was a moron doctor, I'd write them up, you know, hey, this is a person who wants to hurt somebody or hurt themselves and call it in. But that's a joke, but that's actually what they really want to happen.
Sure.
The psychologists, psychiatrists are the ones on the front line. The pediatricians are the ones on the front line with this because they're getting the folks who, you know, they're asking parents, do you have guns in your home? All sorts of little benign questions that are non sequitur that the parent thinks, I'll just answer it. Don't answer those questions. Keep it simple and keep it to the point of why your child is there. Because eventually, potentially, it's going to be accessed on a major database. The electronic health medical record system is in a cloud, right? And that cloud gets filtered for words, for medications. I mean, really, think about the bigger picture. It's not just this little cocoon anymore. I just heard yesterday that Apple has a service called, I think it's Siri. It's the one where you talk to your phone and it, you know, you have it search for you, it get a number for you, whatever. They keep all those searches for 2 years. Apple just admitted it. Why on earth would they want you to keep information about, hey, I want directions to the nearest Chinese restaurant? No. Okay? It's benign stuff that you think, oh, what the hell, I'll just, you know, don't.
Another one that I just, I went to get the QR and barcode for app for my phone because I'm a day late and a dollar short behind on everything, getting all the current stuff. And I went to this deal. In fact, I went to several of them to get the QR code thing. And it said, we'll be glad to give it to you free, but we need access too. And I said, no, you're not going to have access to my contacts or my emails or anything else, asshole. Pardon, I'm sorry, I didn't say that. So I told my best friend in Portland, and he's, oh, come on, you got to be kidding. I got one, and it, you know, it works great, and they didn't ask me all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He calls me back the next day, and he said, you know, I went to get an app for something, and the same thing. There ain't no free ride there, and all of this information, and yet the FBI supposedly had pictures of the Boston bombers, and they couldn't find them. You hit it on the head when you walked in the door. Don't trust anybody, and read and look at what they're asking.
Right. I mean, I just got a new phone, and so when you upload new apps to try to, you know, change them or switch them over, pretty much every app did ask the question, can we have access to your location, your contacts, you know, your information on your phone? And I said no to all of it. You need to say no to that. There's no reason for them to know where you are, to know who's in your database. I mean, really, what's the point of, and it was a currency app because I needed to have one that switches, you know, you have currency in one country, how much is it? I mean, how much is it in another currency? Why on earth would they need to know where I am to access that app? I was just, really? You just have to have a healthy a healthy...
Right, were you able to go ahead and get the app?
I did. Okay. And I just said no to all of that, and it
they
works.
They didn't give me a choice. It was.
Oh, really? Then you don't want the app then?
No.
Then you just sign get up rid
for
of it.
That. Yeah, forget it. I don't want, you know, I'll do with that.
Totally. I mean, it doesn't... I mean, some of the map stuff, you probably have to tell them where you are, but you don't really have to say yes to that. Just plug in, you know, manually where you are and where you want to go. That would be a much better choice than having it constantly surveil where your phone is. Just like OnStar. I mean, they know exactly. It's a two-way street on that thing. They know exactly where you are, you know, if you're in your car, all sorts of things. And it's presented so benignly. You know, I have a flat tire. It's raining. It's midnight. And so I can talk to my car.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, you wonder... And I know ATF has come out with they want this gigantic, and I guess they're already building the building or something, this humongous database with everybody's information.
Oh, they already have one of those. A fusion center?
Yeah.
Basically, they have those all over. That's not new.
What are they going to do? I mean, I don't know. I tell you what the government is doing right now, it's boggling my mind and making a old man just totally confused and what they can do with it other than like we've talked, the death panels. They'll know, well, you know, you were doing this and you shouldn't have been, so that's a strike against you when you go to the doctor. Folks, we've got to stop it.
Well, you know, I'm going to be clear. This is not... Overall, it's not new information that they're going to know, which is sad. What they're doing is collating it and making a database that's freely accessible and making it coordinated such that it's not just the doctor now, it's everybody. So it could be Homeland Security. It could be, it definitely is Health Human Services, definitely. IRS, definitely. The question is whether it goes out to FBI and Homeland Security and other places. That's the only question that really gets answered with this. And the answer with that, I think they're pretty much admitting that that's going to happen. For those folks out there who think, I have nothing to hide, I don't care what you know because I'm a citizen and everything's great. That's Pollyanna stuff, people. It's not the folks that, it's not you. Let's put it this way. The guy who they picked up in Mississippi, who technically sent the ricin bomb or ricin envelope, it wasn't him. They just let him go. He's an innocent person, a citizen, and they picked him up like he was a criminal. Darn lucky he didn't end up in Guantanamo. So it's the mistakes that you want to guard against. It could be you that has the same surname with the same initials, and you're minding your own business mowing your grass, and they just picked you up. That's the problem. It's the mistakes. And thank God he only got hell for a couple of days. But I'm sure there are times that how many people that we don't know about that ended up in a system when it was a mistake and they're now whisked off somewhere. That's what we need to guard, just like the drones. It's okay to take to people, I guess, to think to shoot first, kill first, ask questions later. But what about when they're innocent? What if it's your loved one? You have to think about all of the answers on it. And we have a system of law, a rule of law. To me, it's just being flouted.
Huh.
There is no due process. There is no habeas corpus. You just get taken out, and it's okay. That doesn't make sense.
Led by the administration. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Dr. Elena George right after this.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital, Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that allergy season in Georgia is year-round? Beginning in July through November, ragweed is the predominant pollen. But February through May, tree pollen causes allergy symptoms. Grass pollen occurs from mid-May through the beginning of July. If you suffer from daily nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, headache, ear clogging, or popping, or a chronic cough, these symptoms may be due to allergy and not infection. You should also think of allergies if there is no fever, chills, or colored mucus. Treatment should include nasal salt water sprays over the counter or antihistamines that do not cause drowsiness. If you have persistent headaches, a decrease in your sense of smell, or nosebleeds, you should see an ear, nose, and throat physician. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on America's Web Radio with Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call. And I'm sorry that we don't get to talk as much medicine, but what we talk about and what you talk about is medicine. It's a bad dose that you have to take, and that's the fact that we're living under a...
But it is medicine, Dave.
It really is, yeah.
People need to understand that this is part of a whole. This is not just about you going and getting your physical, your annuals anymore. It's not just about that. It's about what happens. And the reason I can say that is because pretty much everything we do or exposed to is toxic. And it's known to be, but there's nobody watching our backs on this. Go back again to genetically modified food. It's huge.
Let me stop for 1 second. Okay, we can make a fat guy extremely wealthy when he yells, the climate change, we're having a heat wave, and we're in. But they won't take on the toxic issue.
Follow the money. I think Minnesota, I believe it's Minnesota. I think it's Minnesota. They have a new law that they're trying to pass on a local level that allow Monsanto. I forget wherever Monsanto is based. That's the state this is happening in. That whatever happens, if something's found to be carcinogenic or toxic or kills people, Monsanto cannot be sued. They're protected, just like the vaccine makers. What does that serve anybody in? If you're trying to protect your citizenry, how can you pass a law like that? How could you even think of passing a law like that? Nobody knows. Well, I think they do, but the mindset is nobody knows what happens if you eat genetically modified food. Really, let's think about it critically for a second. Roundup, which is Agent Orange, is in these seeds, specifically, I think, corn, for example. It's called Roundup Ready. We talked about it ages ago. And what that means is actually in the seed. So the gene for Agent Orange is in the seed with the thought that if you grow it, it'll automatically kill off weeds and they won't grow. And what's basically happened is you need more Roundup to kill the resistant weeds that have figured out how to work around this little block. And so you end up making it even more poisonous. And I'm seeing veterans now who come to my office once a week. And they have bladder cancer and head and neck cancer and all sorts of diseases because they were sprayed and inhaled and doused with Agent Orange in the performance of their duties. You're going to sit here and tell me after knowing after 20-some-odd years, 30 years now, you know it's toxic, but it's okay to put into a seed. And the bottom line is, nobody from the government knows what's going on. They don't want to know. And it's all, just like most of these pharmaceutical companies, it's internal documents. It's internal reports, internal experiments where they get to jerry-rig the results. We've already seen that happen with, let's say, Vioxx, where the company knew that it was going to kill people, and they put it out anyway. And then they pay this huge fine, which is a pittance of how much money they make. So basically, it's just a slap on the wrist. So what we're talking about is medicine. It's medicine on a bigger level. It's medicine in such a way that you need to get your head out of the sand, look at the bigger picture, and protect yourself. That's what the show's about. It's not fear-mongering. I'm not fearful of anything, only God. And as a doctor, I took an oath to do no harm. If I know these things, then I shouldn't be sitting here talking about how to lose weight and how what's the next fad diet is. I'm not serving a patient by doing that. I'm serving them by having them read. Don't listen to what I say and trust it. Look it up. I didn't trust anybody. That's how I got to this point. I mean, I went to medical school. I did my anatomy. I did everything by the book. And it took a loved one getting ill to make me actually have to go elsewhere because it wasn't working, the standard. And then once your eyes are open, you really don't go back. And it's a pleasure to actually have your mind opened instead of living in a cocoon that's driven by fear or anger or hatred or whatever emotion that they try to inculcate or indoctrinate you with when you watch TV or listen to, you know, the big radio stations. It's not about helping people. It's about controlling them. And I'll say it a trillion ways to Sunday. If they control you by your pocketbook, that's one way. The other way is to control your emotions. Well, you just stop thinking critically because you're part of a whole. You're part of a team. That moron person who's talked about you need to, you know, your child needs to enter a collective system where the parents have no power. Any parent who listened to that and didn't get outraged, I have a question mark about. So it's okay for you to dump your child into a system you don't know anything about, have them be taught by people who think they're stupid, quite frankly. If you're a woman, you're stupid. If you're a minority, you're stupid. If you're not English-speaking, you're stupid, and we need to take care of you and tell you what to think, how to act. And if you don't follow that, then there's something wrong with you. You're racist, you're sexist, you're a bully. This is all mind control indoctrination driven by the need to be liked. You know, I'm sure Dr. Blank must talk about this on her show. I don't want to be liked. I want to be respected. And if I respect myself, then nobody can get anything over on me. No one's going to treat me like a moron because I'm not. And if I don't know something, I'm going to read about it, learn, or I'm going to find someone who does know it and learn from them. That's what you need to do. Not listen to Rachel Maddow or whomever, Hannity or any of these folks. They're all corporate entities. They're getting a paycheck from big pharma, from big business, and they can't tell the truth because they won't have a job. Do they really care? I think not.
It comes down to you got to take care of yourself. And as you were speaking, I was thinking the other word that you attach to it is cover up. And our government has, we see our government today, I've never seen the abuse of cover up like we're seeing today. But it didn't just happen. Many years ago, I go back to the Kennedy assassination and became a total cynic at 15. The stories that were going around, and we didn't have internet, we didn't have anything, and yet it was just incredible, the stories. I couldn't tell you that I believe Oswald shot Kennedy today. We won't ever know. As far as I'm concerned, and you go to Benghazi and Fast and Furious and Boston now, and the government and big business have perfected covering up everything.
But it's our job as individuals to ask questions, not to just take it.
Absolutely.
And it goes down to your choices. You know, we're told every day how bad the economy is and how people are losing jobs and people are hopeless and so on. So you just listen to this 24/7. You start to believe it. I mean, as long as you have a mind and then if you're able-bodied, you have a head start on someone who doesn't have an able body and you're able to think, then you have options. And the options for me, and I'm sure most people who think like we do, and hopefully people who don't, is that I need to control my own destiny. Going on and getting an EBT card and getting on food stamps may be a means, it should be a means to an end, not a lifestyle. Because once they get you on this, again, debt slave mentality, then they're going to start pulling things from you. First the carrot, it's the same playbook. First the carrot, then the stick. So now they're encouraging. I heard this from somebody yesterday. The government workers who got furloughed or who are being furloughed because of sequester are being told, oh, don't worry about it, just get on unemployment. And that'll lead to, of course, government assistance, getting money. And once you do that, somebody said, that, oh, I'll do that and then come back and collect my past due earnings or payments that's due me and then just, you know, quit and stay on it. I mean, this is the mindset. So it's free money. I've heard of stories of people, I mean, these are abuses, so I'm sure it's not everybody, but driving BMWs collecting food stamps, or my favorite is the people going to school and getting student loans and using it for other things except besides student loans. Isn't that illegal? I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
They're more concerned about whether you have a pistol or not than they are
of collecting on people who are cheating the system.
I think I mentioned this to you. The fact that the government has a government service agency, a GSA, they're not even sure of the number. They have between 55 and 70,000 vacant buildings, and they can't even locate them. But yet we're paying, as taxpayers, we're paying to maintain them.
And it's yet, so much waste.
And it's just...
It's other people's money, so who cares?
Yeah.
But all of that example was to say this. You can make a personal choice that doesn't feed the beast, that doesn't feed this system. Why go to some place like, and I hate to use, you know, Walmart, for example. You know what, or any of these clothing stores where all this stuff is coming from China. Okay. You're not helping yourself. Why don't you help the mom and pop? It may cost you a little bit more, but you're giving someone a job in your own community. What I've heard, the money should stay in your community seven times, circulate seven times in order for you to really get a benefit to your economy. It leaves on the first transaction. It goes to the big package store and it goes to China. Did it stay in the country? No. And did you help yourself? Absolutely not, because what they're bringing in is usually cheap, crappy or toxic, and you're just happy that you're getting a little bit of a savings. Change your mindset. Instead of poverty consciousness, which is how little can I get for as little money to spend as possible, start doing the opposite. Really start practicing what you preach. If you really are for the country, start finding other people who make it here, who employ people in your community. Stop going to the major supermarkets and go green market, make a deal with a co-op in your neighborhood or your state where the farmers literally, even go online, there's plenty of them, where you could actually get food delivered to you that's a fraction of the price and you know where it's been. These are simple things that you can do instead of buying Costco, the crap that they stink in Costco, and getting, you know, huge boxes of macaroni and cheese, you know, that fake stuff. Start eating real food. These are the first steps that you can take to stop the system from running over you. We still have choice, and it's a choice that you make.
Or grow your own.
Definitely.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Dr. Elena George right after this.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment, and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that chronic nasal congestion, a decreased sense of smell, and asthma can be signs of allergies? Allergies are caused when the body is exposed to things you breathe in or eat that the body does not like. The body's immune system reacts and attacks it, what it perceives to be the enemy, even if it causes no harm, like pet dander or dust. This leads to swelling. In the nose, this causes congestion. In the bowel, it causes stomach bloating and diarrhea. In the lung, it causes shortness of breath and wheezing. And in the skin, it causes hives and itching. The first line of defense against allergy is avoidance. Dustproofing, washing pets, and keeping them out of the bedroom can help with environmental causes. For food allergies, keeping a diary of things eaten and reaction to them is helpful. Allergy testing is less time-consuming and is a safe and effective way to identify allergies. For a complete evaluation, you should see your allergy specialist.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George. And it's always so good to see you.
Same
here. Well, you know, just what we were talking about, we ought to bring cake and beer in or something. And you know, one show should be a...
How many people can handle that? I don't know.
When the garden's up and growing, I'll bring fresh tomatoes in or something.
Fair enough. And that'll be awesome. The lycopene will help. Anything to keep you out of everybody, out of somebody's office, it'll be awesome. I know we're talking, I guess it's kind of esoterically at this moment, but I just want people to get a bigger picture, honestly. I mean, the reality right now is that Obamacare is being implemented, unfortunately, in the way that I thought it would be implemented. The least trained, with less access to physicians, with a cost of more money for accessing services, with more denial of procedures and care. And the most recent example was, I think, Walgreens. You know, they've had these minute clinics for a while, and they've been like urgent cares. Well, they're changing how it's implemented. They now want to go after people with chronic disease. So we're taking it out of the primary care venue, the internal medicine venue, and putting it in Walgreens, where it's going to be staffed by nurse practitioners and PAs, no physicians. And you're going to be going there for your weekly check or your maintenance of your chronic problem, whether that be diabetes or high blood pressure, gout, you know, things that are complicated, things that take coordination of care, not somebody with 2 years or 3 years experience. That's exactly what I thought would happen with medicine. You'd have someone following an algorithm. Another example, somebody went to the doctor and, you know, I guess he looked it up online, figuring out what he had, and then he proceeded to go to get treated and did the history, and the person taking care of him basically did the same thing. They looked it up on the computer and basically came to the same diagnosis as the patient. When it comes to that, the medical profession is dead, in my opinion. we're just a corpse on life support, because this is what medicine has come to, going on. And, you know, was it? I don't even know. I don't even do these things, but the MD, any sort. I forget what it's called, but you know the main one. Or taking a picture of your problem and sending it to somebody to diagnose for you. That was my favorite. A new app that you could take a picture of whatever it is, that whether it's a skin condition, a rash, and there's one that you can put in the child's ear and take a picture of the ear to send to the ER or the urgent care, whoever's going to look at it, and they'll make the diagnosis on the phone. There you go. Well, this is going to be really bad.
Is this going to be one of those that you get what you pay for?
Oh, yeah. It's free, so it's going to be really bad. Go figure, man.
Okay. They send the picture in, and the child needs an antibiotic for what? Well, then what are you going
to
do?
I guess you can call it into Walgreens or whomever and then get treated virtually. There will be a group of people who like that because they won't have to pay anything for it. You know, so – but you could be wrong, you know?
How could you call in and get an antibiotic, though?
Oh, people do it all the time. People do it all the time. Doctors, I think I'm a little unusual. I will not treat over the phone. You're not getting an antibiotic. You have to come in and be evaluated because I can't tell you what it is without actually examining you, which I don't think goes on too much now either. You know, maybe you might get a couple history questions. Well, you get a lot of history questions, as we just discussed. Yeah. And that all gets logged in. It's like a – you go in, you get pre-evaluated by the MA where they log in all your information and put it in the computer. Then I think the nurse practitioner, PA, comes in and logs some more in the computer and talks to you. Maybe examines you, maybe. And then the doctor comes in and just looks at everything on the thing and writes the prescription and leaves. So people are not getting any better care. But all of that infrastructure, the PA, the MA, the physician, someone's paying for that. But you're paying more and getting less. My thing is, and again, we're about solutions on the show, find an independent physician, somebody who's in a solo or two-person, maybe three-person group, who's not affiliated with a hospital. So in other words, their office is not on hospital property, and they're not a hospital doctor, meaning that they're employed by the hospital. Stay away from those guys. Nothing personal, but I see how it works. And it's not like they have any choice in the matter. They have to do what they're told, and they have to get you in, get you out, because it's money making for the hospital. And maybe you might get more tests ordered because the hospital gets the revenue from it, perhaps. I'm less mercenary about that than people who don't know what they're talking about, who keep saying that people just do procedures for no reason. But I can tell you that doctors privately make no money from sending someone for a blood work or a CAT scan. But the hospitals do. So you think about that. Make your own decision on it. And by the time the hospital gets involved, the markup is dramatic. So my fee has been the same since I opened my practice. I don't have to pay any overhead into the hospital. I'm doing my own thing. The hospital overhead, the prices for seeing me in my office, for example, starting fee for just nothing else done is $150. I think that's amazing for a specialist. But if you saw me in the hospital, it'd probably be $350 just to walk in. And you probably wouldn't even get to see me first. You know, you'd have everybody else in front of you, we just discussed, MAs, PAs, nurse practitioners, etc. But you'd be paying a heck of a lot more. And had I sent you for a CT scan out of my office now and you were self-pay, it might be about $250, $350. If I sent you to the hospital to get it done, it might be about $650. And if I was in the hospital sending you, you went actually in hospital to their x-ray, maybe it'd be about $1,000. You know, chest x-ray for $20, $30 on the outpatient side, private, versus about $150. This is why the cost of medicine is completely ridiculous.
We have a host that just had a valve replaced, $250,000.
I believe it. First thing I would tell you that person is look at the bill and make sure that it's itemized. And whatever's in the miscellaneous section, which is considerable most of the time, make them go through every single line. And a lot of that bill is going to be redacted. It'll be taken off. Because if they can't prove what you had, then they have to take it off. And there's double charges in these things. I mean, the computer-driven. They have these carts now that if you're in the hospital and the nurse gets a medicine that she has to prescribe, dispense to the patient, she has to go on a computer, log in what the medication is, the amount that she's doling out, and it goes right into the charger or the charge master. But who knows? Sometimes it can be a computer glitch. You could charge for three when you only did one. And all you know is you're having a heart attack from looking at the bill, and you don't really look at the bill, and they're not going to educate you. First thing you want to do is go and have a meeting with the financial person. That's after you recover and you get your sea legs back. Go and make item one-to-one with the bill in hand and say, what's this? When did I have this? Why did I need this? That's what you have to do. And they really depend on just like a lot of things. You won't ask questions. You won't look at it. You'll just pay it. Stop being a lemming. Stop being so easily led and start asking questions. Again, it comes down to trust.
You have to.
That's how you're going to handle your business and take care of your health, your family, and your future.
And we ain't seen nothing yet.
No, unfortunately.
It's going to get worse and worse. And, you know, you feel like they're parasites, particularly on, I'm fortunate that I have fairly good health and at least have some of my gray matter left and a wife that is astute. But I feel sorry for the folks that can't take care of themselves. And, they're being put through the meat grinder. And again, it will only get worse. If you're not contributing, then there is no use for you to be around anymore.
If you're not paying taxes, I guess that's their mindset now. But again, even those folks who may not be able to work, there's no reason that they can't go up into their local congressional meeting or their local, alderman meeting and make their voices heard.
Absolutely.
This is what they thrive on, doing whatever it is in the dark and with the mindset, well, nobody cares. We'll just do what we want to do and with impunity. So, that's even more of a reason if you're not working or you're not able-bodied for whatever reason to haul your butt up there and go to these meetings and listen to what they're saying when they decide to put cameras here or to put a tax on another toll tax on a road, making it a toll road. They do all these things, coming up with crazy fines for going over the speed limit or, really ridiculous things that just make it just unbearable to live. They're doing it in plain sight, but nobody's watching them.
Quickly, when are you on TV again?
I'm going to be on Trustdale starting in May as the new health expert, and I've got some really good shows coming up about health insurance, and how you can navigate the system. And I'm going to be expanding on what we talk about here in terms of solutions. So Trustdale is on WXIA TV 11:30 on Sundays.
Fantastic. Well, we will see you next week, I hope.
We definitely will.
All righty. And you've been listening to Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George on America's Web Radio. Stay tuned for more great programming.